Tropical.
14 KVOE presents The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Good morning. Welcome to Talk of Emporia, 14 KVOE, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com here this Wednesday morning. Talk of Emporia is brought to you by First Christian Church, where all are welcome and have a place at the table of love. Also by Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever. Newman Regional Health. And by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, still offering convenient carryout and curbside services. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, 607 Merchant, where it's all about to meet. Well, we're pleased to have with us in studio here today, Emporia Public School Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder, and busy time here at the end of the school year, and we've got a lot of ground to cover, some which we had initially planned to cover on here this morning, some we haven't. So we'll bring Allison in and get things started. Allison, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chuck. I'm doing well. How are you?
So far, so good. How are things going here on, I guess, the last day of school at Maynard and the really last full day of school district-wide?
Well, we were out at Timmerman and Riverside this morning, and we were looking actually at some plans with HDK and McCown Gordon, but they were doing a lot of fun activities at Timmerman. They were having a talent show, and then at Riverside, they had planned activities outside, but obviously they can't go outside, so they had a lot of activities inside, but all the kids were having a great time, and the teachers were having a really good time as well.
Good deal. I kind of hate to shift off of the really festive atmosphere around the schools here locally, but obviously what happened in Uvalde, Texas yesterday is on a lot of people's minds right now, with over 20 dead. I think it's 21 now, with 19 students, two adults, and including at least one teacher that were killed in a shooting incident, kind of the latest one here just across the country in the last month. And the question obviously comes up is kind of what is the Emporia Public Schools District doing on the safety and security side of things? But really, more than anything else, we can start by just talking about the goals and objectives here for school safety and security in a broad range terms.
Absolutely. And like we were talking a little bit before, even though we may not be talking about school safety all the time, that is always first and foremost on our minds. And so where we start from looking at maybe some differences in construction, if we're going to renovate a room or the front of a building, or if we're going to do something significant to a space, one of the first things that we talk about is where the office space is located and having those secure, safe entrances. So one of the things that we started talking about years ago was having a double entrance. Not every school had a double entrance. So every school is locked, and just being able to go in and out. High school is a little bit different because of the age of the students and they're able to drive, but there is a secure entrance as they go in, and to check in with secretaries and to make sure any visitor that they are approved to come in, and then also what their purpose of being in there. So we make that very much a part of our priorities, and as administrators, we're always looking at that.
You know, that brings up a really good point, and it also dovetails into that building for the future conversation, because I really don't remember anything about, say, office positioning or secure entrances until really about the last maybe 6 or 7 years. And maybe it's been a little bit longer conversation than that, but that's kind of when I remember it coming in. So, you know, part of that work with Building for the Futures is making those adjustments.
Absolutely. What really brought our attention to office location and those secure entrances was more about Sandy Hook. When that happened, that really made us look at things differently because of the perpetrator who came in and how that person was able to get in. So making sure that we have parents or visitors that have their IDs, that they're checking in, and that we absolutely do not release a student to an adult unless we have that adult has been listed as a contact by the parent during enrollment. So all of that information that we ask about during enrollment, we use all of that information. And when we ask for IDs, sometimes we have people who get very upset. And sometimes what we see at the end of a school year is that sometimes we have parents who may not live in the community, but they come in to celebrate the last day of the day with their students and maybe pick them up for the summer. But if we haven't seen them, we're going to ask a lot of questions. We're going to expect IDs. And we have had people that have been upset, but we are not going to release a child unless we have that identification.
Speaking of Uvalde, and really almost 24 hours or just over 24 hours since the incident started developing here, have you gotten a lot of questions here about school safety, either from maybe school staffers, school board members, or the general public here over the last day?
Well, as far as school staff, of course, that's just any type of tragedy. It hits very close to home, no matter where it is, because you can imagine your child or your student or a sibling or your parent, you can just very easily imagine them in that situation. But our staff are used to practicing those drills. So we have a number of drills that we practice throughout the year. We update our emergency operations plan every year. So for the district, as well as every building, we make that specific to the building. So we do, of course, our tornado and fire drills, but also we do if we would have a lockdown or if we have a reunification. So if we would have an intruder or if we would have something, even like a gas leak where we'd have to move the entire building, the population, to another site. Every school has that site identified, and they practice at least once during the school year with that reunification. As we're doing through the different lockdowns, as part of that too, what happens, we don't want to scare students. That's one of the reasons that we don't go through and actually act like there's something that's happening, but we talk about what would we do if we needed to lock the doors and if we needed to hide in a classroom. And we take into account what windows we have available, what does that door look like, and we try not to use codes because that's the last thing that we want staff to be worrying about is trying to remember what the code is. But we do practice locking the doors. We do practice talking to students and getting them safely to places. And we also think about students who may have some mobility needs and some other different special needs. So looking at all of those aspects, we take all of that very, very seriously and practice for that in case that would ever happen.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people may not really see a lot of that prep work ahead, and so they may not think that there's a lot of that prep work that's underway or being done if they say they don't have kids in the district. The kids will tell you if they're, hey, mom, we had a drill today, or we walked over to XYZ location for reunification purposes. So if you have kids in the district, you have a nice idea of it, but folks that don't may not see that, and they may not really think that anything's happening.
Exactly. And we do, that is why we practice drills. And so if there are mistakes, those are the times to make those mistakes. And we want those reactions to be automatic. So when students hear a fire drill going off, if they hear that there's a lockdown level 2, they know exactly what to do. Staff knows what to do. We also provide those plans to subs. So when we have sub teachers in the building, when we do our reunification drills, part of that too is having people practice picking up students because we would be releasing students individually. So what does that look like? How do we make sure that we have a backup? So if we don't have internet connection or if something's happened with the technology, with the server for the district in general, how do we have that backup for paper? And sometimes that is difficult as we have students moving in and out of the district, making sure that we have accurate, current records of every student.
Well, let's take our first break here on the Talk of Emporia with Emporia Public School Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder. And when we come back, we're going to dive into what we had originally planned to talk about when we got the interview set up, and that is the district's enrollment study, what's underway now and what's to come here for the rest of the year. It's 11:23 on KVUE and KVUE.com. As Talk of Emporia continues here today, Talk of Emporia is brought to you by First Christian Church, where all are welcome and have a place at the table of love.
Are you looking for a warm, welcoming church home? You are invited to join us at First Christian Church at 202 East 12th Avenue on Sunday mornings at 10:40 for worship or on Facebook. God's welcome is wide, and you are welcome at the table of the Lord and at First Christian Church Emporia.
Congratulations to the graduates of Emporia State University.
Congratulations to all of our seniors.
KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Best of luck in the future. Live and local.
You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call 342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Talk of Emporia continues, 11:24, KVUE and KVUE.com. Emporia School Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder, who typically joins us every month on the showcase. Already done that.
Yes.
A few weeks back. And, now it's time to talk about the enrollment study. And this is something you'll be hearing a lot more about really the next few months. It's actually been discussed as far as the Emporia Board of Education periodically earlier this year. But let's talk a little bit about really maybe start off with where things stand with the study. Then we can back up and talk about really how this developed and what is being focused on here with this enrollment study.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had our first meeting of the enrollment study committee on April the 20th. We have our next meeting coming up on June 22nd. The committee is made up of administrators, representatives of staff members, including classified, as well as community members. So we really wanted a diverse group to come in and look at our problem, which has been in our enrollment. And so our district is experiencing some of the same or similar types of challenges some other districts are experiencing, some larger districts in particular, where they have declining enrollment, not necessarily because students have moved to other districts or virtual school or homeschool, although that has happened too, but a lot of that has been that we're graduating large class sizes, and the class sizes coming in, they're just not as large. We're just not having as large families as we used to.
With that in mind, one of the things that comes up is kind of how you shift your education models, but we can talk about that here in just a second. Why is the study being done now? I guess is a good question for me. Is why are we looking at this now as opposed to maybe a couple of years ago or maybe even two or three years down the road?
Sure. So I'll back up a little bit with that. So when I came on as interim superintendent at the end of November, we knew that we were having issues with our budget. So as we dove into the budget and what was going on there, we had some study sessions in January, February, and March, and we really looked at what our staffing was looking like. So we brought in Kansas Association of School Boards, a representative there. We contracted with them to come in, and that individual, Dr. Marsha Wiesman, who's involved with leadership services, came in and she just looked at our enrollment numbers and she looked at our staffing, and she didn't even really have to do more than just look at the raw numbers and said, you are way overstaffed. And so that was where we were having a big strain on the budget. We were having just some disconnect as far as communication across the district. And so we started looking more into those areas and looked at how we were overstaffing. And really, our overstaffing was occurring primarily in the elementary schools. And as Judy Stanley and Jared Giffen and I have reflected being elementary principals, we remember this conversation years ago with Ryan Cargill and talking about how our enrollment was going down. But when you're in a building and you have what you feel are, you know, students that are filling every room, you think, well, our enrollment's not going down. We don't have room for students. But truly, our numbers have been going down. So looking at our trends, and we originally talked about doing a facility study, but that really didn't make sense because a facility study had been done prior to the bond election. So they had looked at all of that information. So really it was the problem or the issue was really enrollment. So we really needed to look at what is our enrollment at all of our six elementary schools and where has that declined? So we have seen a decline in every one of our elementary schools. And as we're also in the middle of the bond and construction, what do we need to do to adjust? Another challenge to add to that has been, of course, the pandemic and the difficulty in getting those quality materials as well as good bids. So cost of services have gone up as well as the actual materials. So that has been another little bit of a squeeze. But we've been right-sizing the district. So as we've right-sized the district, we had reduced 8.5 certified staff members is an easier way, I guess, to think about that. So if we had 8.5 teachers, even though those were not the positions necessarily that were reduced for this year. And then as we looked ahead to next year, we really needed to reduce 48. We were waiting for school to get in session because our enrollment could have come back up because it's going to be our first, quote unquote, normal school year, having everybody back in school and not having remote learning. So we didn't want to understaff. But as we looked, we've looked at that natural attrition through resignations and retirements. So now that we've done all of that, we've balanced our staffing. We're looking at our enrollment and what makes sense, because how do we stay sustainable with our budget and making sure that we're providing all of the necessary services to all of our students? Does it make sense to have six elementary schools? That's been one of the questions. Would it make more sense to redistrict and have different neighborhood schools, not necessarily the schools, I'm sorry, but the boundaries, if we need to change the boundaries. And then the other things that we've been talking about in the community has been the housing project that's been being planned over by the zoo, also talking about childcare. That's another area that's been a huge issue. And then ESU changing and not going to have their Early Childhood Development Center in August of 2023, that puts more of a strain on what we are able to offer as well, or find for childcare.
So you have a lot on your plate with that funnels into the enrollment question right now, as opposed to just the raw numbers year to year, school to school, or cumulatively.
Absolutely. There's just a number of factors, and sometimes it can, when you're just looking at the surface level, it can seem that there are some simple answers or some simple options, but really it's not that simple. And that's why we really wanted to pull together this committee. I will say that there were a number of people who were asked and they declined the opportunity to be on the committee. And part of that, part of the reasoning has been, and of course, it takes time. That's right. One very good reason. And the other part of that is that it is those are uncomfortable conversations, because we care about every single one of our students, all of our staff members, all of our administrators. We want to be able to provide what is appropriate and in the best circumstances that we can. So we have had some uncomfortable conversations, for sure.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that comes up is as you mentioned here, changing the school boundaries. I can just imagine that was going to be uncomfortable by itself. But the possibility of I don't want to use the term eliminating, but maybe repositioning one of the school buildings, that could cause all sorts of problems right there, or at least cause a major outcry. How far along is the district in possibly making major moves, given the fact that the committee is really just starting its work and kind of sifting through the data here for the last couple of months?
Right. So as we were doing our right-sizing the district, we are also working on our strategic plan, so updating that. And then looking ahead, we would not make any changes for this coming year, but we would have recommendations to the board ideally by October 2022 for the following school year. So really trying to have that lead time. A question that's been brought up has been, well, what happens if a school is closed?
Right.
Right now, really, that's not the intent. I mean, there has been a question about what if we pause the school? What if we repurpose the school? Again, those are challenging conversations, because whenever you're in a school, those kids and those students, staff members, they all become families. And so they're extended families as far as other students going into other schools. So how do we make sure that we're honoring all of those relationships and supporting staff and families and students?
What are really the main, before we take our final break here, what are really the main focal points here of this enrollment study that the committee is looking for? And, you know, there's going to be that overall recommendation, but what are some of the different main bullet points that'll be underlying the final determination?
So we provided our enrollment committee, our enrollment study committee, with really ad nauseum types of information. It was a huge presentation on April the 20th, and it was an hour and a half of a lot of data for them, because we wanted to provide all of that foundation. They needed to understand the birth rate, the trends that we were seeing, our enrollment, the budget challenges that we were having. Also, what's unique to Emporia are the weightings. And so when we have students that are bilingual, or if we have students that have low socioeconomic status, what is that free and reduced lunch, what does that look like? Because that also impacts what type of funding comes into the district to be able to fund our staffing, because in any district, staffing is the primary expense that you have. So giving them all of that information as a foundation, but then really we want creative conversations. We don't want to limit them. So that's why we are giving them some parameters, because we could go down a lot of different bunny trails on a lot of different in directions, but we really want their input. So this next time on June 22nd, which will actually follow our ribbon cutting at Jones Early Childhood Development Center, mm-hmm. we will really give them some information, some parameters, but we really want some brainstorming and some feedback from them, and also questions. What other data do they want?
Okay. Let's take our final break here on the Talk of Emporia. It's now 11:34 on KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder with USD 253 Emporia is our guest here today. Talk of Emporia is brought to you by Newman Regional Health, offering more medical specialties and convenience than ever. Newman Regional Health. And by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, still offering convenient carryout and curbside services. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, 607 Merchant, where it's all about to meet.
Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue wants you to know how much they truly appreciate your business and look forward to you stopping by for some tender, juicy, fall-off-the-bone ribs or enjoying the best smoked meats in the Flint Hills. Bobby D's is open 11 to 8 Monday through Saturday. Dine in at 607 Merchant or call 620-342-1990 for convenient carryout or curbside service. And check out their new specials on Facebook. Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue, where it's all about the meat.
Newman Regional Health proudly announces the addition of 3D mammography for screening and diagnostic exams within their WS and EC Jones Breast Care Center. This state-of-the-art equipment allows for breast tissue to be examined layer by layer as opposed to the previous 2D mammography image. For more information on 3D mammography or to schedule a mammogram, speak with your healthcare provider or call 620-343-6800. Newman Regional Health is part of a group of facilities across the country, raising the standard of digital mammography care as a pink ribbon facility.
14 KVOE is proud to bring you Feel Good Fridays.
It puts you in the best mood.
Share the good news. If you are tired of hearing all the bad stuff, let us know anything good we should all know about. Call 342-1400 or email KVOE at KVOE.com and we will feature a story every Friday.
It makes you feel good.
14 KVOE, live. We want your good news and local. You're listening to The Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call 342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
USD 253 Emporia Public Schools Superintendent Allison Anderson Harder joining us here on The Talk of Emporia here today. And really, before we wrap things up, and I want to shift back here to our conversation about enrollment here, and specifically the enrollment study, but I haven't asked you really how the year has gone from your perspective. You know, we're... Again, this is the last day for Maynard. It's the last full day for everybody else with the half day coming up here across the district tomorrow. Give us your thoughts here on really just how the 2021-2022 academic year has gone.
You know, it has gone really well. This has been our first year in a few years to have some normalcy, and it's hard to believe that we were fully masking and that, like back in January, we were right. having to close Maynard for a few days because we had the spiking as far as with the pandemic. So, and just some shortages, but truly, we've had a really good year. We have great staff, we have great students and parents and community members, so just can't say enough about how the community of Emporia pulls together and supports public schools. It really has been a good year despite all the obstacles and challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. Jumping back into the enrollment study, you know, one of the things that seems to be a key component of this is the addition of a facilitator, and specifically one from the outside looking in, as was, I think, approved here either at the last meeting or the meeting before that.
Absolutely. And originally, when we were looking at the enrollment study, it had been recommended to us that we should have a community member that was part of the committee, maybe one or two people coming from that group to facilitate that. But as we got into the information, board members really gave that feedback that they felt like that was a little bit unfair to have a community member facilitate, especially as we talked about earlier, those uncomfortable conversations and what those recommendations might be as we're moving forward. So having a neutral outside facilitator who could help guide us was really important. So Sue Givens, who's a previous superintendent from El Dorado and has worked with Kansas Association of School Boards, she actually was involved in our team building with the board a couple of months ago and then also helped us with our strategic plans. So she has a pretty good feel for Emporia and has gotten to know some of us. So that she's going to step in and help us as far as filling that facilitator role. The board did approve her being our facilitator at the last board meeting.
How important is it to have somebody who maybe is not in the community but still has a sense of how things operate as your facilitator in this really important study which is underway now?
Absolutely. It's important to look at things from a financial sense, but what's even more important is that this affects students, this affects teachers, and so we know that this is a big impact. So having a really strong, vibrant public school system in a community is really important. So making sure that we stay on that track and that the choices that we are making and the recommendations that we're making to the board, that it aligns with our strategic plan and that we are looking long-term, not just what's a quick fix that might have some longer repercussions, but what is in the best interest of the district long-term and really looking at finance student. So having that perspective from being a previous school administrator and teacher is really important.
Talk a little bit about some of the things that you're seeing with the enrollment study or maybe anecdotal evidence of positive trends, because obviously with the enrollment study, there's a lot of data. We've mentioned that a few times. Not all of it is very pleasant. But talk about some of the positive trends or maybe some of the positive data points that you're seeing right now.
So one of the things that we've been talking about has been, how do we better market the district? We get very comfortable in being in a larger school district and taking some things for granted. So we have, like we were talking about, the exciting things that are happening at Timmerman and Riverside. Mm-hmm. And those buildings do a great job communicating with parents. But how do we really communicate with the community? So we're looking at having an outside marketing company who specializes in schools and how to really target our different populations of parents, because we've seen that our communication needs to change a little bit. So we know that social media is very important. We know that our local radio station and newspaper, all of those are really important. How do we do a better job as a district to really highlight all the positive things that are happening? Because we have so many great things.
There's
it's just
a lot
easy.
Too. Yeah.
There's just easy to miss, but we don't want to miss them. They're all important. So how do we make sure that we are really addressing all of the needs that our parents have, our students have, and in our community as well.
Okay. Before we wrap things up, Allison, anything that you wanted to talk about specifically on the enrollment study that we haven't addressed yet?
I would say that we really are taking anybody that gives us input, we listen. And so I have had a retired teacher who has come up, and she's not part of the committee, but she was giving me some input, and we were actually at the staff recognition. She said, well, I don't want to say this right now. And I said, no. And truly, it is fine. I will take input however, wherever I will get it. I want to hear from people. I want to hear their thoughts or concerns or questions. That's how we know what they are. If we don't have that shared, there could be an assumption that we already know those questions or concerns, and we don't necessarily know that. So I would say reach out to a committee member or to any of the board members or myself. We really want to hear, because this is a community concern. It's a community problem. So how do we fix it as a community?
Okay. And then back to our original topic of school safety, anything that you wanted to bring up with that?
Yes. Thank you, Chuck. So one thing I forgot to mention is that we have three amazing school resource officers. All three are former police officers, and so they have a great relationship with our police department, and we just have a great partnership in general with our police department and our resources in the community. So that is another piece that we have for that school safety, and that was put in place years ago, and we've just been very fortunate to have retired school officers be a part of our community, our school community.
Absolutely. And I guess anything else that you wanted to bring up before we wrap things up on any of the topics school related right now?
You know, we have a feeding program. So just as we're looking at
the meals program next week. Yes,
absolutely. So when we start, we have two sites that we have school. And the reason that we only have two sites is because we have so much construction happening. So William Allen White and Riverside. Breakfast and lunch for students or children, really, ages from 0 to 18 years of age. They can come in and eat free and no questions asked. They don't even necessarily have to be part of our community. We are there to feed our kids.
Awesome. And I think Denise Cater is going to be on our 840 Newsmaker 3 slot Tuesday, the day before that launches. So we'll get the final details from her coming up next week.
Awesome.
Good deal. Well, Allison, thanks so much here for your time and outlining what we've got going on in the district. And hopefully that you have a fairly calm time period between now when school actually gets started back up again in August.
That'd be great. We're looking forward to next year, and we're looking forward to wrapping up this year. And we have some different resources that we're going to be implementing and some different ways that we're approaching some academics. So we're excited to put that into place.
Good deal. Allison, thanks again. Have a great summertime.
Thank you, Chuck. You as well.
All right. Allison Anderson-Harder, Superintendent of Emporia Public Schools, our Talk of Emporia guest here today. It's 1144 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com. All the information you need, live and local.
Bringing you issues and topics of the day. The Talk of Emporia, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 1105 on 14 KVOE, live and local.